Welcome to the Next Level You podcast. In today's episode, I am joined by one of my first clients from 22 years ago and one of my best friends today, Tracy Borland. In this episode, we break down how she went from struggling in asserting herself or being able to see past her current circumstances to a confident, determined powerhouse who only 12 months ago faced a major life crisis. So stay tuned. Hi, I'm your host, Jamie Lang, and welcome to The Next Level You. Inside this podcast, we dive deep into the inner workings of your mind, how to elevate your life, the necessary subconscious reprogramming to the undeniable laws of success, and the tools, techniques, steps, and lessons I have learned in my 25-year journey of inner growth and development. You can expect hard truths and honest conversations about what it takes to uplevel your life and step into the best version of yourself. Join me on this journey in creating your best life. Ready to become that next level you? Let's begin. Hello and welcome to the Next Level You podcast. My name is Jamie, if you haven't joined us before, and I am not going to lie, today's episode is extremely close to my heart. This is a heartfelt story and journey, and I am so excited to share it with you. Before I introduce our very special guest, I just want to take a moment to thank you for listening and for following our show. It really is my passion and purpose to help as many people as I can create a life they absolutely love, one they don't need a holiday from, and one that just lights them up and makes them so incredibly joyous and happy. Whatever that means for you, it is my intention to plant a seed and show you another way of looking at things, a way to clear beliefs and habits that are holding you back. I want to help you reclaim your power, and this has been my mission for over 20 years. So that's where this story begins. Before I bring out our guest, I'd like to give you a little background on how we met and what led to this very point today. This is Tracy Borland. You see, about 22 years ago, I started my life coaching business, and this very special lady was one of my first clients. I met this beautiful lady when she started working at a juice bar downstairs from the gym I was managing, which was owned by the same company. Tracy was so vibrant and vivacious, and instantly you were drawn to her and her laugh. I would go downstairs to get my freshly made juice, and she was always smiling and laughing. Tracy was certainly someone that would brighten your day. It wasn't too long after she started at the juice bar that it closed down, and our boss offered her a position in the gym upstairs with me as a sales consultant. What shocked me when I started training her was her deep lack of belief in herself. She kept second-guessing herself, and I found myself reassuring her she was doing a great job, which even then she found hard to believe. Now, I'm sure that from there you have lots to add in, so I would like to welcome out to the microphone, Tracy. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. I am really well, thank you, and thank you for joining us today. I am a little bit nervous. I've got a bit of sweaty palms, not nerves for anything other than I hope that you don't make me cry, but I'm sure you have so much to be able to share with the audience, and I'm so excited to hear your story from your perspective, which I know a lot about, but I really am excited about hearing what you've got to say. So cast your mind back about 22 years ago. I can just see yourself there trying to do your best as a single mum, or as a mum raising your son and trying to put food on the table and keep the bills paid, and working really physically hard jobs as well back in those days. And so tell me, what, when I met you, you were second guessing your ability to be able to do anything other than what you had known. And we started training and you were, yeah, you were really second guessing yourself. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what did you feel back then?
I think it boiled down to lack of self-worth. If I think about it deeply, I wanted to provide for my son, but I also wanted to be loved as well. So I went from one deadbeat relationship to another, trying to find love, but, you know, I still just kept working and providing and living by myself in my Department of Housing complex and just existed.
And so when we started working together, not just at the gym, but then it was a little bit after you started as a sales consultant that then you became one of my first life coaching clients. Can you think back before we started working with our coaching, how you were feeling? What made you say yes to wanting to take on life coaching?
You know, I had nothing to lose because I had none of that guidance in my life. Prior to that, it was all those comments from that generation prior. Why would you want to do that? Well, why not?
Mm, yeah.
Give it a shot. And I did give it a shot. I dug deep when I did that. I like with your guidance, I opened up about so much of my past life, as well as believing that I could achieve so many other things.
Yeah.
And I think even in the sales side of thing at work and the friendships and the confidence I built, I mean, working in that position and that role, like it all went hand in hand because it was like you're in the environment that it was exercise, which the endorphins are released anyway. But everyone was striving at that place to be better than what they were. I just got luckier than everyone. I did this life coaching course.
Well, I'm a firm believer that you create your own luck. I don't think that, you know, one person is definitely luckier than the other. And one thing that I do want to highlight there that you said was you dug deep and you did the work. And I can't tell you how many people that I've worked with, both coaching and also then in personal training and in the gym environment, obviously that's where we met, that don't do the work and then get upset or, for lack of a better word, get the shits that they don't get the results, but then they haven't done the work. And what I want to totally commend you on, because you even just said that, was that you dug deep. And the work that I do now is on that deeper level. And you were such an example of the transformation that can take place when someone is willing to do the work. Now, I will circle back to a few things that you said. When you said that you dug deep and yes, you uncovered, you know, many layers of things that, you know, you open about sharing, which we all have and which is, you know, is what makes us. But what was the, when you did the work, what was then on the other side of that for you? What did you experience?
I suddenly felt like I could achieve things that I'd never, ever imagined I could in my life. Some people might think that they're just little things, but they're huge to me. You know, I did lose a lot of weight back then. My mindset just changed and I have a vision board still. You know, I started doing 3-course dinner parties with 8 people, you know, and I didn't believe I could do that, but, you know, I did it. And that was a big thing to me, like having all these friends over and socialising, and they were big deals. Everyone wanted to come to one of Borland's dinner parties.
Yep.
And if you got the invite, you were special, you know. and then in this book I had a picture of a car and a picture of aeroplanes and just different pictures of things and love and, you know, and all of those things I managed to experience from there. I bought a brand new car. You know, I hadn't driven for maybe 20 years. I still had a license, but I was too frightened to drive because I was involved in a car accident. But then I had to get back into a car, and I remember my sister-in-law driving me around a McDonald's car park because I was too frightened to drive in the street. She's like, well, you've got to start driving.
Yep.
And here we are.
Yeah.
And I'm driving, you know, in Perth now. So
yeah.
Just things like that. And then, you know, I didn't think that I could travel, and I ended up falling in love, and we travelled, and that was the first time I travelled overseas.
Yeah.
And at the best of times. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, that love didn't last, but, you know, that happens.
Yep.
And I think the biggest thing that I got is probably learning to love yourself more than anyone else.
Oh, my God. And you've almost got me. I'm not going to cry, but you've almost got me. And we've got so much more to talk about, but we could literally end the episode on that. All of the work that you did on yourself, ultimately, with all of the achievements that you've just mentioned, your dinner parties, your like getting your mindset right, the visualization, driving after 20 years, purchasing a brand new car, going on holidays, finding love. But the biggest thing was learning to love yourself. That is just mic drop moment right there. That makes everything, every bit of what you termed hard work in getting to that point, in digging deep and doing the work, it makes it all worthwhile. Do you agree?
Yeah, because like even you touched on it earlier, the pre-meeting you kind of thing and doing, I didn't love myself back then, 100% I didn't. But, you know, I'm now 56 and...
In love with yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep, yep. Oh, ballin'. I want to touch on the journey because, again, so many people think, number one, it's a destination. When you get there, you know, it's like the end. But this sort of work that we do, personal development, mindset growth, overcoming limiting beliefs and reprogramming your brain for success, whatever that success means for you, but reprogramming those beliefs and limiting thoughts that we have, it's a journey that just does not end. Because it's like, and this analogy comes up so often, but it's so true. It's like an onion. You're peeling a layer, but then underneath is another layer to peel back, and then another layer to peel back. And do you still find that now?
Yes, definitely. There's always going to be, what is it, ebbs and flows or
yeah.
in your life, and it just depends how you tackle it as well as, you know, even at the darkest of times.
Yeah. And one more point that I think is really relevant is the point that you said of the people that you were surrounding yourself with. You were at the gym, working at the gym, but also training at the gym. Your work colleagues and even members became friends. And you said they were all people that were striving for something and that were not necessarily confident, but were happy and like moving forward and trying to better themselves. How much of an effect do you think in total, even to date, that surrounding yourself with the right people has on your life?
It has a massive impact. You need to take yourself away from negativity and all that sort of stuff, because predominantly it festers like a noxious weed in you if you're surrounded by negativity.
Yeah.
And if you let it, it can take over. So you've got to make sure you've got, you know, positive people in your life, and that's important.
Yep. Absolutely. Makes me so proud to be your friend and watch that transformation, but also be your coach in being able to, as I said from the very beginning in my introduction, of being able to plant that seed in you that anything that you wanted to achieve, that you can achieve. And you went and did the hard work. You went and changed your life. You know, there were definite tools that we talked about and worked with to help you with that transformation, but you were the one that took the action and took control of your life. So well done. I just really want to take that moment to say congratulations and well done. Because now we're going to jump forward and to a point where you made the big, bold decision to leave everything behind. Do you want to start to talk about that?
Okay. So I'd had probably one of the worst relationship breakdowns. And My second grandchild was born. My son and daughter-in-law moved to WA, and I was over here for a visit.
And just to be clear, we lived on the East Coast, so we lived in New South Wales on one side of Australia, and you rang me and said, I'm going to move to Western Australia, all the way on the other side of the West Coast.
Yeah, and that happened very quickly.
In 3 months, you packed your entire life up that you had literally been born and raised in New South Wales, in Sydney, New South Wales, packed everything up. That was where all of your support network in terms of your friends, yes, your work, your extended family, your brother and sister-in-law and their children, packed everything up. You put your car on a crate, shipped that over, and first of all, were able to buy freestanding home mortgage free in WA. You set yourself up, you got a new job, you established a new friendship circle. But the biggest thing is, you know, that you moved there. Yes, you moved over there to be closer to your son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren, but you literally were starting from scratch in terms of Tracy's life. You found yourself a job, you've created all on your own back a circle of friends, great friends, and created that support network there. And, you know, I was all the way over in Sydney, but it seemed that life was great for you. How did you feel?
I would say, yeah, it was great, but I think I guess hit a lot. I started to have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol.
Yep. And so at what point?
Probably when I called myself an ambulance. My heart rate was very high and they come and said, we're taking you to hospital. And then the man in the back of the ambulance said to me, so tell me, how much alcohol do you drink? I'm like, oh, all right. Well, the buck stops here now. Anyway, I ended up in hospital with two life-changing conditions, I guess. It is a bit hard for me to talk about because the doctor said, or my three specialists now have said to me and my GP that they didn't think that I had longer than 2 weeks to live. I stopped drinking that day, and the doctors are astounded by how I've turned everything around, and I could go into a lot more detail, depends what you ask me.
Let's stop there for a second and give it the space and the time that such a massive life-changing moment deserves, and that is that knowing, I guess, subconsciously that you and alcohol did have an unhealthy relationship. It took the going to the hospital and being told that potentially if you don't change your life around that you have 2 weeks left to live. Now, if that's not a smack in the face, then I don't know what is. But what is especially important to highlight is your deepest strength and desire to turn your life around. And only you did that, because 2 weeks is not a long time. And again, a lot of people, I won't say the majority, but a lot of people would not have the strength or the drive or the determination or persistence or any of those words to make the change. What was it for you when you were in your deepest, darkest moment that made you do the work to pull yourself out?
In my head, I was like, I've got too much to do. Like, there's too many things I want to do.
I know. And you have said that to me before, that there was too much left for you to do in this lifetime. You weren't ready. And
no.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't get an opportunity like I did. They just drop off the perch, which I don't mean that in a nasty way. But, you know, my dad was 39 and we didn't see that coming. And you know, my mum was 59 and she didn't make any choices to better herself. Yeah, I think having an opportunity to... I mean, this world here is, you know, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I really credit where credit is due, and only you, just like when we started working all those years prior when you first started coaching, only you can do the work, and only you did the work to change your life and to pull yourself out. And you're right, not many people have the opportunity or are faced with a dire situation of like, this is literally life or death if I what I do from this point. A lot of people, you know, are in situations that they're not happy with, but they're not necessarily in that black and white contrast, I'm gonna pass away here or I'm gonna make a change. And you were, and it's just so astounding what you did to change your life around. So, Ballin, it would have been really easy to, in that moment in the hospital, to hear that news and to roll over and live out the next 2 weeks. Can you tell me or the listeners what you did with your mind, with like, what was the journey like for you in being able to turn your life around in that moment?
I knew I had to stop drinking. That was the first thing. Get healthy. Think about what I put into my body, because I mean, at the end of the day, you are what you eat. Like, it's been over 12 months since the whole journey began. And, yeah, I'm really inwardly proud of myself because I didn't think that I could ever achieve what I've done.
Has it been a straight road for you, though? Like, did you in the hospital bed go, right, okay, well, I'm going to change my life around, and then fast forward 12 months and you're here?
No. I had lots of medical appointments, lots of tears. Like, there was no way I could work because I was averaging probably 5 specialist appointments a fortnight. You know, I wasn't driving because I was unable to drive because of I had to maintain my condition for 6 months and things like that. There were so many things that I was up against.
Obviously, there are peaks and troughs in yes. any journey. And, you know, success in anything isn't a straight line. So what did you use, any particular tools or any strategies to make sure that you stayed on the path of moving forward for your health and rebuilding your life? Were there anything there that you used?
I feel like I had to have a plan. Like, the one of the things you taught me was goal setting, and having those goals that I started to think about when my head had started to come better. You know, I was putting them down into what I wanted to do, like come the first of the first 2024. You know, having that kind of plan to look forward to, and I just feel like it all helps you to move forward because you have that thing to look forward to. You know, I had to get my car back on the road because it hadn't been driven for a while. You know, I had to get driving again, you know, pass the medical to drive, you know, and then I had to get a job. So, you know, and then I lacked the confidence. But then remembered back on how I got to where I am, and when I did my interview, you know, and I had this video of me, and I watched this video before I went into the interview, that some of the words of the song are like, I'm in my happy place. And it was just all images of me.
So that video, was that something that you put together?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that is fabulous. So I've just been making notes here. So some of the strategies and tools that you used, correct me or add on if you like. So you definitely dug deep with the visualization. You were imagining yourself on the other side of all of these challenges, healthy and living in your best form, in the new way. Goal setting. You mentioned the first of the first, 24. You set goals, and you were again with that visualization, just like looking forward. You mentioned that you were always looking forward rather than looking back, which I think a lot of people can look back and then go into that victim mentality, poor me mindset, and almost be like unwinding all of the positive work that you were doing. You were looking forward. You weren't, and I'm sure there may have been times where, you know, it was like, well, why did I do that? But you didn't stay there. You were moving forward. You were looking forward. It's like, what can I do now? Going back even to that when we worked together, of taking control of your life. Because you did that back then, and this was just another opportunity for you to really just take control of your life. You mentioned you were breaking things down in smaller bite-sized chunks, such as you mentioned that you weren't able to drive for 6 months, but then when you were able to, you had to get your car fixed or serviced. You had to, you know, get the tires fixed. There were little things along the way, even just going to each of the specialist appointments, you know, fortnight after fortnight. And then to establish yourself again and find another job, I mean, in a completely different moment, you know, you got your new job when you went over there, but then this had happened, to then being able to go out and put yourself out there again, to create a video of yourself with your happy moments and your happy place, to put yourself in the right frame of mind before you went into the job interview, is just brilliant. It's just, it's really, you know, it's raising your vibration. It's getting your mind in the right place of, I'm going to get this job, I'm going to nail it. It's, you know, you're moving forward again. You're building that confidence and that belief in yourself, and having that worth of yourself. I am worthy of this. I'm worthy of a healthy life. I'm worthy of living a long, abundant life past this. Have I hit Absolutely. That on the head?
You have hit that on the head. Actually nailed it.
Oh, Ball, and you really are so inspiring, and I know that so many people are going to find, excuse me, your story so inspirational, and, you know, everyone's going to be able to get something from this. I have no doubt in my mind. And so to, I guess, start to wrap things up, knowing obviously that the journey is not straight, it's up and down, all of these challenges in your whole life, not just in the last 12 months, all be them completely life-changing. You know, what, if you were just to summarize, I guess, what kept you going in the most challenging moments of your life?
I think I always had it in me. That's not taken away from you. And what you taught me, you brought it out in me. Like your when I was life coach, you brought all that out in me, and that, but it was already there. I just didn't know how to get it out. And that's why I think I was so susceptible to learning it all. It's like a sponge. And then to be able to take that forward and know there's nothing wrong with that. Using all those tools to achieve stuff. It's mind-blowing how the brain works.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to these things, and you know, you don't know your own potential until you do the work on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to finish today's conversation because you've said it a couple of times and I couldn't agree more. And that was the work that you did on yourself. I was just the person that planted the seed or the I guided you to what was already inside you. And I think that is key for anyone listening, that you have within you the ability to create everything you desire and be the person that you truly believe to be, because it's already within you. You just have to do the work to draw that person out.
And everyone needs a Jamie Lang in their life.
Well, with this podcast, they can. Oh, look, it has honestly been such a privilege and honor to have you as our very special guest here. So I want to thank you. And, you know, it also is an honor to have watched you change, transform, and really just take control of your life and remember who you have always been. And that is this beautiful, confident, vivacious, fun, life of the party woman that you are just by being you. And, you know, your positive attitude and your ability to transform your life in all areas really is inspirational. And I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to join you on this journey. And I know that we're very close friends, but even just as someone that was able to see you from start to finish as your coach, it's just so beautiful to be able to experience and share with you. So thank you so much. And I want to wrap things up here. If you haven't joined me on Instagram, you can follow me at the Jamie Lang. And if you haven't yet grabbed your free 7-step guide to unblocking limiting beliefs so that you can attract success effortlessly and reclaim your power in your life, just like Tracy did, you can do so at www.jamielang.com/7-steps. That's jamielang.com/7, the numeral 7-steps. So thank you so much for joining us today on the Next Level You podcast. I've loved every second of it. Thank you, Tracy, aka Borland. If you didn't recognize, that's what we were calling her through the session because that's what her name is to me. It's been great having you. Love you to bits. And I will see you guys next episode, next time. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Next Level You. If you loved and found value in today's episode, be sure to share it with me so I can continue delivering valuable content and inspire more listeners. And if you haven't connected with me on social media, come and join me on Instagram, where you can find extra doses of inspiration at The Jamie Lang, or visiting my website at jamielang.com. That's spelled J-A-I-M-E-L-A-I-N-G. Your support means the world to me, and I'm so grateful for you all. Until next time, remember to embrace the journey to become the next level you.